Well, I think the one thing that we've looked at is the number of new varieties that are coming to market are going to make marketing way more complex, and it's going to make the execution level at the orchard or in the orchard way more important to create an eating experience for the consumer that is above their expectations.
We're already talking about a fruit that has so many varieties, and there are so many more that are being developed. How difficult is that choice then for growers and farmers to make to get a spread across their orchard?
That's one of the things that we're having the meeting about here, is because it's becoming a lot more difficult, and with these new varieties, we have to sort of write the operator's manual for each variety as we go, and labor issues and labor costs are pushing us to change the type tree system that we're used to working with to more efficient systems. So not only are we learning new varieties, but we're learning new tree systems as well.
I guess part of that learning process too, and the decision-making process for growers, is how they can perhaps extend a spread of different varieties to get as good a season and as long a season as they can.
Once you get a good labor pool, you want to extend that season for as long as you can and have continuity in the season. You don't want labor peaks and labor valleys that don't utilize things efficiently. So figuring out what your production of each variety should be so that you have a level labor requirement throughout the season is a real key management issue for most growers.
What part does innovation, automation, some of the new technology have to play in all of this?
Oh, it's huge. There's new developments going on in human-assisted harvest and some fully automated harvest deals. But almost in every case, the tree structure itself needs to be a lot more uniform and organized than what humans by themselves have been able to handle in the past.
So how do you go about that from the point of view of getting it more organized? Is it to do with the genetics? Is it to do with the way of growing? Or is it a combination of all?
It's a combination of all. We've got new rootstocks coming into the industry as well, and new training systems and new varieties, and all of that stuff has to be simultaneously aligned to make the system work for the growing characteristics of each variety.
Does it come down to the nitty-gritty sometimes? For example, if we're in the middle of picking season now, where the work that you're doing and the kind of advice that you're giving to farmers and growers creates an environment where the fruit is actually easier to harvest, easier to pick, gathered more closely together?
One of the things that we're spending a lot of time talking about is how to organize the tree canopy so that we can reduce the number of picks that we have and pick a more uniform fruit maturity so that we've got more predictability on the way to market.
There are all sorts of variables that go into this. I remember talking recently with at least one of the growers talking about things even like stem length on apples being critical in the picking and harvesting process. Does it get down to that degree of minutiae?
Well, with certain, at least in the U.S., certain varieties, if the stem length or stem rigidity is such, we have to stem clip that to keep it from puncturing holes in other apples as they're handled for packing and shipping. And so that adds another degree of complexity to the harvest work that each picker has to do. And so, it becomes a consideration, but it's usually a variety characteristic as to whether they have that type of a stem or not that has to be clipped.
I'd venture to guess that a lot of the process is getting feedback from growers and farmers. What are you hearing that they want?
We always want the most grower-friendly varieties that we can get, but the fact is we as growers have to allow the consumer to decide what characteristics they want in terms of flavor and texture and fruit size and that kind of thing, and then, we have to grow what they're willing to pay for.
And I suppose that involves a fair degree of market research that inputs into what you do.
I'm fortunate in that regard. We've got a full marketing team and so on back home that helps support that. And so they help guide us on making the decisions of what we need to advance as far as varieties that we commercialize, and then it's up to us to figure out the operator's manual.
The other thing might be a fickleness in the market that, you know, there's a certain variety that undergoes a period of popularity, almost a fad. Do you have to deal with that sort of thing as well?
Oh yeah, we got a variety called Honeycrisp, and that's been one of those ones where the consumer has voted with their dollars, and we've had to put a tremendous amount of work and effort into making that variety work. It's probably the most difficult variety that I have ever worked with in my career, and you know, but the consumer's willing to pay for it.
Does that mean you have to almost stay ahead of the game, because development time's a bit of an issue, isn't it?
Yeah, in the fruit business, you've got, you know, we're all using conventional breeding practices, and that means that, you know, time from making a new cross to commercial introduction is a, you know, 10 to 15 year process for each new variety, and then after we decide that we like it from a eating experience standpoint, then we got to figure out the horticulture that makes it work.
That's a fairly time consuming sort of a process, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't realize how much effort goes into delivering product to the store shelf. We got more challenges today than we've ever had, so that keeps all of us getting out of bed in the morning.